Luke 21, it says in verse 34, take heed to yourselves. Circle that. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts. So take heed to the condition of your heart. It's talking about your spiritual self. Take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged. Some translations say burdened down with surfeiting. That means fleshy living. Drunkenness and cares of this life, that day come upon you unawares. You know, getting bogged down with fleshy things, calling fleshy things important in life, and he mentioned cares of this life, things of that nature, it can make you spiritually insensitive to where things happen like what he mentioned at the end of this verse, that day come upon you unawares. In other words, things of God, the timings of God and what God's doing are not clear to you, not on your radar. And you miss things. And so he's telling us in this passage, take heed to yourself so that it not be that way. Brother Hagin made this statement one time. He said, I think the Holy Spirit could walk down the street with a red hat on and some Christians wouldn't even recognize him. Well, doesn't have to be that way. So he goes on and he said in verse number 35, for as a snare shall it come, talking about the day coming, the day of the Lord's return, for as a snare shall it come on them, all them, that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You know, a snare, you know, that's a trap for an animal or something. That's, we understand what a snare is, but it's a surprise. The animal's not ready. It's not thinking about being snared. It's something that happens as a surprise. Well, I don't believe spiritual things ought to be a surprise to us. We ought to be spiritually tuned up, tuned in. But then he goes on and says, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always. All the rest of the time you can do what you want to do. You might not be on your knees all the time, but you ought to have a prayerful lifestyle. It isn't just something you do once a day or once a week or whatever, once a month, once a year, once whenever you get in trouble, whatever. But it's something you live. Watch and therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So pay attention. Watch means to be alert. Be alert. Be spiritually attuned in. It means to be sober. Sometimes we'll read the Bible talks about be sober and watch. Be sober and alert. Amen. It means to pay attention to the spiritual realms. Pay attention to your spiritual condition. We pay attention to our physical hygiene, and rightly so. Make sure we're not smelling bad. Amen. Should be, anyway. Isn't that right? We pay attention to ourselves, our hair, whether we got something in our teeth. We pay attention to our physical man, our physical hygiene. Well, pay attention to your spiritual hygiene. Amen. You know, somebody said one time, well, you know, your attitude's not right. Well, then pay attention to that. Pay attention to your spiritual attitude. Pay attention to what's getting inside of you. Pay attention when the devil's working on you. Pay attention when you're getting under stress and anxiety. And pay attention. Some Christians, they act like they don't even know, they're not even aware that their whole personality has changed, you know. Well, I mean, they ought to be aware of it. Pay attention to these things. Amen. If somebody comes along and says, your faith is running a little bit of a temperature, pay attention to that. Or better yet, not even need them to tell you. I got a haircut yesterday and I came home and I'm on the way home. I realized there's a heaviness on me. And I said, Lord, I know what it is. And I said, I know it's two things. Number one, I gave out a lot this week, you know, preached 12 times a day, or not a day, 12 times in 4 days, 12 hours. And so, you know, when you give out, you got to take back in. I said, I know that's part of what it is, but I also know it's something else. Because I just looked down into my spirit and there it was. Amen. I said, Lord, it's this thing about hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I'm dealing with that right now. Some things that I'm believing God for just seems like, the more I take a step towards it, it goes 14 steps in front of me. And I'm like, and it goes again, and it goes again, and it goes again. I know that's what I'm dealing with. You know. Yeah, amen. Well, if I know these things, then you ought to know those things. What am I dealing with? Why am I acting? Why am I all despondent right now? Sneak up on yourself and ask those questions. And be honest, because the Lord will give you an answer, but he'll be honest. And sometimes the honesty hurts. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Amen. But pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to your own spiritual condition. Pay attention to your spiritual hygiene. Pay attention when you're getting weak. Pay attention when the enemy's working on you with offense. Pay attention when there's a yakety yak yak going on, and what he's trying to say, what he's trying to do, who he's trying to get you disconnected with, who he's trying to get you offended at. Pay attention to that. It shouldn't be Christians just fall into things and they're, before you know it, I mean, their feet are where their head were just 15 minutes ago and they're not sure what happened. Well, what happened? Well, you ought to know what happened if you pay attention. Amen. Well, let's go over to, in fact, before we go, look at verse 36 again. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. The enemy is going to sin. Now, this is talking about the return of Jesus here. But this is true about anything Satan's trying to come at you for. There's a way of escape. The Bible said with the temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's a way of escape. There's a way out. There's a way out. Mark it down. There's a way out. There's always a way out. But the King James here doesn't bring it out very clear. Some of the other translations like the Moffat translation says that you may succeed in escaping. Weymouth says all these coming evils, all these disasters that are on the way, Rue says. Succeed in escaping. I was reading this one time and the Lord said that you would have what it takes spiritually. Isn't that an interesting way of looking at that? Because it's one thing for God to make a way of escape. It's another thing for you to have what it takes to take that way of escape. That you and I have got to maintain our spiritual condition so that we are always ready and able at a moment's time to use our faith to take a way out of depression. Heaviness, like I was saying yesterday. What is this? I know what it is. Just dip down into my spirit. That's what it is. Yeah. Well, now I know my way out. Now I know what I got to do. Yeah. Amen. 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 So it's important. It's important that we pay attention to when the devil's trying to get something on the inside of us. You know what I'm talking about? Too many times I meet Christians, they act like they're not even aware. Awareness is important. You cannot deal with things properly if you're not even aware you're in it. Amen. Now, how many of you know Peter was in Luke 22, he was unaware that Jesus said to him, he said, Satan's desired to have you to sift you like wheat. Peter was unaware of that. In fact, he kind of argued with Jesus, I'll never deny you. I'll never, never. Yeah. Jesus said, the cock won't cry three times, but you'll have denied me. Yeah. Or the cock won't cry, you'll have denied me three times by the time the cock crows. Yeah. Isn't that right? Well, he's like, no, not me, not me. He's unaware of his spiritual condition that he would fall like that. And Jesus was trying to make him aware of it because to be forewarned is to be forearmed. If you're aware ahead of time, you won't fall for it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so Satan tried to strip him like wheat, sift him like wheat. And he did fall for it, but then he got back up. But thank God for Jesus' help on that. Hallelujah. Now, we need to be able to grow until we can do this on our own and not need somebody else to point things out to us. Now, we always benefit from the help of others around us, but the thing to me is not sometimes that Satan is coming for some people sometimes. It's that they're not aware of it. That's the thing we need to focus in on today. Amen. They don't know what's going on. The Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you're not. You're not. But if you get dull, you will be. If you get dull spiritually, God can talk to you through a megaphone. You're going, huh? Huh? Can't hear you. What? Don't get it. You know one reason some don't get it? It's because of pride. They hear the word preached, no, like Peter. You know, no, not me, not me, not me. That's a good way to get open the door to you falling in that area. Pride goes before a fall. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know you're in pride whenever you start arguing with your answer. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Part of growing up is you're aware of when Satan's working on you. You catch it, in other words. You know when he's trying to get in. And part of growing up is knowing why. Knowing why. Not just that he is, but why. In other words, what's he trying to accomplish here? Or how did he get to this place? How did I get to this place where he's able to work on me in this area? I remember praying for somebody one time who just seemed in the same area, just seemed kept falling. Or they weren't, that's not exactly accurate. They weren't exactly always falling, but Satan was just constantly working on them in this area. I mean constantly. And sometimes they'd fall. They were generally staying on top of it, but sometimes they'd fall. But the thing that stood out to me is that he's just constantly in that area, bam, 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 trying to get into that area. And I said, finally, after in prayer for years, number of years, dealing with some things in the spirit, I said to the Lord, I said, why is it that Satan keeps coming to them in that area? And the Lord answered me just as quick as you can snap your finger. He said, he sees weakness there. He sees weakness there. Whoa. I'm glad to say that person's not weak in that area anymore. But you got to ask yourself the question, why does he keep working on me in this area? Maybe that's an area before you got saved that you were always bound with. And he knows, you know, you work on somebody in that area and they'll fall, sure enough. You ever read the Bible? Go back to Psalm 27, Psalm chapter number 27. We're getting somewhere with this. I don't want you to just hear a sermon. I want you to apply this to your own life. Amen. All of us, are the enemy tries to work on us in some area. And let's catch it today. What do you say? Here in Psalm 29, it's verse number 11. I'm sorry, I said 29. I meant 27, excuse me. Psalm 27, verse number 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in plain paths because of mine enemies. Now, the King James just said, because of mine enemies. I have a letter M by mine. And down in the margin, it says, Hebrew, those who observe me. Those who observe me. In other words, because there's somebody watching me, looking for a way to take me out. Teach me your word. Teach me your word. Teach me your word. Amen. So those that observe me, now he's talking about natural enemies, but how many of you know the real enemy, even if somebody seems in the natural to be, remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The real enemy is what's behind them using them. And sometimes it's not a person at all. It's just a spirit in the spirit realm just trying to work on you in that area. Yakety yak yak, just trying to work on you in that area. Work on you, work on you, work on you, work on you, work on you. I've discovered this. I've learned this in my own life. I've learned it in other, watching others. Is that the enemy is willing to work on people for decades. Because he's an eternal spirit and time's not a big deal to him. He's willing to work on people for decades to get them eventually to fall. So you're going to have to be willing for the rest of your life to say, no, it's not going to work for him. It's not going to work in that area. It's not going to work in that area. Amen. If it's being offended, if it's taking wrong thoughts, there's certain thoughts that our flesh likes. We like the thoughts of feeling sorry for ourselves. We like to think of ourselves as a victim. The flesh, I should say. The flesh likes that. Likes to have pity parties. Woe is me. I'm such a victim. You know, everybody's treating me wrong. I'm such a victim. Actually, everybody gets treated like you. It's just some people don't have a victim mentality. It's the truth. It's the truth. I know victim mentality people don't think it's the truth, but it is the truth. It's just that we don't magnify the devil and what he's saying and what he's doing. But he works on everybody just like you. That's right. You're not somebody special. So anyway, notice he said here again, those that observe me. There are spirits in the spirit realm. Their job is to become familiar with you. They're called familiar spirits. Not trying to make you afraid of them. I'm just trying to, the Bible said, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. They're familiar spirits, and their job is to get familiar with what will work by observing you so that they can find the advantage. 2 Corinthians 2:11 said, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. In other words, ignorance is his advantage. When he finds an area that you're ignorant in other words, an area that you won't do the word in. Because you don't know what the word says along that line. Or you're just lazy and won't do it. Then he'll go to working on you in that area. You know, in the beginning, in the garden, back in Genesis 1, 2, 3, down through there, 4, is it 4 or 3 where Adam and Eve fell, 3 or 4, whichever chapter it is. It talks about Satan deceiving Eve, but Adam went along with it. And the New Testament says Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. But here's the thing. The devil got both of them. Why? Well, he deceived Eve, but Adam he didn't deceive. He went into it with his eyes wide open. He knew what he was doing. He was just lazy. What do you mean lazy? He knew what the devil was doing, but he didn't do anything about it. And the devil got both of them. And then I always say that this after that. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. You cannot know and the devil take advantage of that, or you can know and not going to do anything about it, and the devil will take advantage of that. But he'll get you either way. Yeah, he's watching to find an area that you won't do the word or you don't know the word, and he's going to try to get in right there. Maybe because of a habit of just, your flesh likes to be offended. Feel sorry for yourself. And so when it comes to offense, your flesh likes that, and you won't do the word because it feels so good to be a victim. You know, I'm just a victim. Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement over there. Amen. Praise the Lord. What gets one person might not get another person. I've never been tempted with alcohol. I mean, I found a can of beer at about 12 years old at the end of the driveway. We had a road goes past the driveway like everybody else, and somebody threw out a full can of beer. I found it one day, and I thought, I wonder what this smells like or tastes like. I opened it up, and it's like, oh, dear Lord. Terrible. I always thought it was stupid. I mean, why drink something that you're going to choke on, you know? That was never anything I was tempted with, so the devil doesn't use that. But some people, that's a big deal. He's trying to get in right there. See, it's not about what it is. Anything that we yield to, the devil will take advantage of it. Really, what it ought to be about with you and me is what is he trying to use against us? And get real strong in those areas. I mean, go to working on that area. If it's offense, get out the old series, Offense, the Trap of Satan. I mean, get all in the Word again and get that Word in you. Isn't that right? So you're not ignorant. You're not somebody that he watches and finds that there's a weakness there. So he takes advantage of what he observes and sees what we'll give into. I mean, some people, they're not bothered by other people's words that somebody says about them, you know, it doesn't bother them. But other people, I mean, the devil knows he can get them off. I mean, you talk about them and they'll cuss her enough. I mean, they'll get in the flesh. And so he'll bring people along to push that button, you know. Seems like everybody in the world comes along and pushes that button. Why am I always getting, you know, this? I mean, everybody I meet, you know. Well, ringy dingy, there's a spirit behind that. It's pushing that button, pushing that button, pushing that button. Maybe it's immorality. Oh, you're going to go there, Pastor? Well, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So part of growing up is being aware of what Satan's working on. Part of growing up is being aware, like you said, take heed to yourself. Go over here to another one, over in 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. Call my throat strong. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse number 16. Take heed to yourself. What? I thought he already said that. Yeah, he's going to say it again. Take heed to yourself. Paul's talking to a young minister. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. I don't really care if you won the whole world if your own self's going to hell. Your own personal life's going to pot, you know. The first thing to watch over is yourself. When he said take heed to yourself, he's not talking about being self-conscious. Because we're not to be self-conscious, we're to be God-conscious. But the way you take heed to yourself is you take heed to the word about you. About your own condition, your own spiritual condition. When the word talks about offense, for example, you pay attention to that word, and by paying attention to that word, you're aware whenever you're getting offended. You're not unaware. Amen. So again, another verse just says, take heed to yourself. Part of growing up is that you're aware when Satan's working on you and you catch it. You know when he's trying to get in and you know why. And sometimes she'll talk to people on the phone, and they're getting you know, separated from the things of God. And she'll try to gently, depending on how far somebody will let you go, you know, gently talk to them about why. You know, and a lot of times they get weak and have fellowship with the world more than the people of God. Just the same old things. Same old things. You know, and so, and sometimes they take heed and catch themselves, and we appreciate that. Amen. But it's not just what he's doing, but why? Why is he working on us in that area? Why? Why is he working on us in that area? Did we open the door through being unguarded or unwatchful? Amen. It's not always something that we've missed it in. Sometimes it's just we're going through a door into more in God, and Satan's opposing that. We have to be aware of not just what's going on in the spirit, but why. Why? What is he trying to get us out of? What is he opposing? Did we open the door? Amen. Whenever I said I caught myself yesterday, I caught myself, you know, and I asked, you know, what is it? And I knew the answers. That's not just for me. Well, you're a pastor and you've got anointing to pastor. I don't live out of the pastoral anointing. I live out of the same anointing that lives in me that lives in you. I minister out of the pastoral anointing, but I don't use that to live out of. I can't. Amen. So that same thing can happen to you. You can dip down into your spirit and do the same thing and get your answers. He's not hiding anything from you. I said he's not hiding anything. So what's going on right now? Some of the increase in ministry and doors we're going through, I would say this to you. If you've ever practiced guarding your heart, now would be a good time to do it. Now would be a good time to do the word. Now would be a good time to answer offense. Now would be a good time of not letting yourself get bored. Now would be a good time to not be lethargic spiritually. Now would be a good time to not to give in to despondency. Now would be a good time to not let hopelessness overwhelm you. Amen. Now would be a good time to guard your thought life. Now would be a good time to learn to actually practice answering the wrong thoughts of the enemy. Jesus in Luke 4 didn't just hear the enemy say things to him. He answered and said unto it. Now would be a good time at getting skillful at doing that. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't find us come running to hold your hand as much as we used to, it's because you know what to do. Amen. I've only been preaching it 17 years. Amen. Well, you see us going through something, you should come and help us. I am Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Amen. Well, I take that. I'm hurt by that. You ought to take it as a compliment. Well, I must be growing up. I must be growing up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I might go ahead and start preaching now. All right, come on. Hallelujah. Go to James here and look at something. I don't know how long I'm going to even preach this morning. I might be done in about 10 minutes. I might. I don't know. I'm not promising. I just said I might. See that? Hear that unbelief in the crowd? That's just... Look at James 1. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted. So here's the definition of temptation. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation is a drawing away. It's Satan trying to draw you out of the spirit into the flesh's lust. Now, when we talk about the flesh's lust, our first thought might be adultery or something like that. But how many of you know just being offended, just taking a thought of unbelief or whatever, they're all the flesh's lust. So every man, when he is tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It is a drawing away from something. Isn't that right? Away from the spirit realm and into the fleshly realm. Out of the spirit into the flesh. And then he says, look at verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Now notice the lust, or he mentioned earlier there, temptation, that in itself is not sin. He said, lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Let's look at this a little closer before we go any further in the service. When lust hath conceived, conception is seed sown. Seed sown. Then he said, it brings forth sin, and when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And then sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So the conceiving is seed sown. The sin, when it is finished, in other words, when we're enticed to sin, that's the seed sown. Satan's sowing that seed. He's trying to get us to take it. Young ladies, there's a lot of young men around that want to sow a seed. And they're enticing you to get into immorality and conceive what they want to sow. I'm not trying to get graphic. I'm just using an illustration. Nobody wonders to hear what I'm talking about. Oh, I don't understand that verse. Oh, now you understand that verse. Amen. So guard yourself. Amen. It's your body. So lust when it is conceived, that's the seed sown, and conceived also includes taking it in. And it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Well, let's use the illustration here of conception. And then he said, it's not, let's put it this way, it's not sin. You have not, in other words, if a young man, you ladies, let's just use that illustration. If you ladies have a young man trying to get you in bed, again, before you're married, in adultery or fornication, to conceive seed, that them tempting you is not sin. Amen. It's whenever you yield to it, then it becomes sin. And that's when the seed gets sown. That's when it gets planted. Now that's sin. You've yielded to the temptation. But he goes on. He said there's another step goes on there. He said lust when it's conceived brings forth sin. Sin when it is finished brings forth death. So that seed, that day that seed got sown in that young lady, that seed was not finished. It's going to start growing and producing a baby. Isn't that right? It's going to produce a baby. Well, the illustration here is something evil. And he said, whenever a person yields to sin, in other words, they yield to it and they practice the act that they were tempted to, that the lust and the temptation drew them into that. And now they yielded to the sin. Now the seed got planted. But he said, it's not done yet. It's not done yet. The harvest, he said, the lust with this conceit brings forth sin. Sin when it is finished, circle the word finished. That's talking about, because I said conceiving is seed sown, finished is seed harvested. In other words, it brings something up to harvest. In the natural illustration we use, it's a baby. But in the spirit realm that he's talking about here, it is actually death. In other words, sin leads to death. Amen. There's a harvest off of sin. People say it won't affect them. Well, yeah, you haven't got the harvest yet, but it'll show up. It'll show up. Tell your neighbor, it'll show up. Don't be deceived. It'll show up. Now, let's think about this because hello, praise the Lord. Satan's continually trying to get thoughts into your mind, wrong thoughts, and he's trying to lure you to accept things. Offense, thoughts, whatever it might be. Thoughts of failure, thoughts of condemnation, thoughts of, unbelief, thoughts of fear. And sometimes there's a little imp on people's shoulders, yappity yap, yeah, just hounding, trying to get that into them. You haven't sinned because he's sitting there hounding you. Because the thoughts coming to your mind does not equal you thinking that thought. The thought coming to your mind equals the devil trying to get the thought into your mind. And just because the thought comes and keeps coming doesn't mean that it was your thought. It's not your thought until you accept it and turn it over in your mind and begin to think it after the devil. Are we making any sense this morning? So when he's just trying to get something in you, you've not sinned just because he's sitting there yappity yap yap. But whenever you start believing it, turning it over and thinking that way, and then saying it, now you're in sin. Now it's conceived. Now something got conceived. Something got planted in you, and that's going to take you somewhere. That's going to give you a harvest. When that's finished, the harvest is some kind of death. Am I making any sense? How does a woman conceive? Seed enters. She lets down her guard and seed enters. I'm talking about against outside of marriage. Amen. Amen. Just a man tempting her does not equal that seed entering in. Biology tells us that there has to be more than just something, you know. No woman is surprised when she conceives, when finds out she's pregnant. Oh, I wonder when that happened. Well, I was out to dinner last night, and I sat kind of close to him. Maybe something jumped off of him, and it doesn't work that way. Amen. Hallelujah. She was aware. She was there. She was involved. She participated. She's partly responsible. Aren't you glad for the mercy and blood of Jesus Christ? We talk about this seed sowing, the seed conceiving is going to eventually take you somewhere. There is one thing that will give a crop failure to that seed. It's called the mercy and blood of Jesus. And it's called repentance. It's called repentance. Some things there's no other way out. But don't just think that, you know, something just got in your heart without you cooperating in that process. You're responsible to take heed to what the devil's working on you about. Amen. It's not the devil's responsibility. The responsibility is yours to not let these things get planted in your heart and your mind. Can you say amen? Amen? So what I'm saying is a thought, a temptation, or a suggestion of the enemy comes to you does not equal it entering in. But you must do the right thing. You must be alert and aware to what he's working on you about and to do what the word says with it. It's not enough to be aware, well, the devil's working on me. Well, what are you doing about it? Get the book. Answer it. Get the book. Get the book. Answer it. Answer it, answer it, answer it. You can't just roll over and hope it goes away. You got to answer it. And don't be unaware that thing is going to take you somewhere if you listen to it. Amen. It's not whether it comes or not. Somebody said, well, why is he working on me? I don't know. Just do the right thing. He works on all of us. I can't work on it for you. You have to do the right thing in your life. Amen. Amen. What you do with it determines whether it gets in or not. Not whether he comes or not. That doesn't determine whether it's getting in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Paul said in the book of Acts, he said, herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. He had to constantly push offense away. And you might have to do the same thing, constantly pushing whatever he's trying to bring to you away and say no and answer it with the word. Amen? Push it away when it comes. You'll never walk free from something if you don't. This thing does not have to be a harassment for the rest of your life. The season can come to an end pretty quickly if you will do the word. And you young people, you didn't get it when we were preaching that years ago for so much. Practice guarding your thought life. But listen, the Lord told me some of you young people are going to have to start getting a hold of that message. Because he's after this generation. He's after you. Amen. And he wants to get something in you and get it to start growing. The Bible says in the book of Job, the third chapter, verse 25, Job said, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." It wasn't whenever that thing was in seed form, just a little bit of a fear. He meditated on that. He accepted that. He turned it over until fear got real big on the inside of you. When it got big, the harvest came. Amen. Practice the word. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Amen. I said guard your heart. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 2 concerning some of these things. The Bible is telling us to watch and be alert. When we read those two verses, watch and pray. Take heed to yourself. Isn't that right? He's telling us to be aware spiritually, be alert. I mean, pay attention. If you said to me, you know, we're family, our families are friends or something, and you said to me, we're over at your house doing something. You said, I got to run, do an errand. Can you watch my children while I'm gone? I say, sure, I can watch them. But if I'm distracted, not watching which room they go into, not watching what they're doing, not watching if they went outside, playing in the yard, if I'm not paying attention, I cannot say I'm watching your children. You know, I'm busy answering the office's emails, not paying attention. Tell your neighbor, that's not watching. So you have to be alert spiritually to watch what's going on. Now, have you found 2 Peter 2:22? 2 Peter, let's see, I didn't even turn to the right page. 2 Peter 2, verse 22, he said, this has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the, returned to the wallowing in the mire. Well, Pastor, I don't know where you're going. Well, what I'm going to say from this is, from the context, is here he's talking about not being guarded against old things that you were delivered from. When you got saved, when you got, you know, baptized in the Holy Ghost, came over into the Word and started getting your mind renewed, things got washed out, things got pushed out, things that you were bound by got pushed out. But here he's talking about returning to those things. The sow, let's read it again. He mentioned two illustrations, the dog and the pig. The true proverb, the dog has returned to his own vomit again, and the sow to what was washed to her wallowing in the mire. He's talking about going back to stuff we used to be bound with. Amen. Amen. In other words, we've come out of some things. There's a lot of things I've come out of. Anybody else come out of anything in here? Through the Word and through the new birth, all these things that God's done for us. We've come out of some things. We're not bound by it. But just what he's saying here is, in fact, Jesus said back in Matthew 12, he said, when the unclean spirit's going out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest, finding none. He says, I don't have any place. I'll go back to where I came from. In other words, the same thing that left is perched outside of your life. It wants to get back in. The same thing. He won't come back in other areas. It's the same thing. I've watched it over and over and over again. People get separated from God, get back out in the world, get away from the Word, whatever, for whatever reason, just distracted or offended, whatever. Either way, the devil takes advantage of it. And before you know it, the same thing. It's always the same thing. The same thing. It's never different. It's always the same thing. That they were delivered from, it all comes back. Worse. Same thing, but just worse. Same thing. Never something else. It's always the same thing. So that thing was perched right outside of their life. It was kicked out all right. It wasn't binding them anymore. Didn't have any right to. They got the Word in them, and the Word set them free. But that thing must have been perched right outside of their life, because as soon as they opened the door, as soon as they let down their guard, as soon as they stopped watching over their spiritual condition, he said, I got a rope. I can see a way back in right there. The same thing. The same thing. Amen. So what he's saying is that a man can return again to those things that were, those things were once were spewed out of his life. If he relaxes his faith and starts giving the devil that ground by not being watchful. those same things will come right back. Those old tendencies. Whatever it was. You know where I've got to work in my life? Or in other words, stay guarded in my life is what I was bound with before I got the word in me. Other things, such as I mentioned alcohol, doesn't even matter. Just, but that might not be true about you. It might be some, that might be. But whatever it is, that's the area that I got to guard against. You know what I'm talking about. You know as well as anybody knows. So that's the area, those old tendencies, whatever it was once kicked out of your life, they want to come back in and run free in your mind. You can't let it happen. Amen? Hallelujah. And so when, here he talks about a dog licking the vomit that was spewed out of him. When the devil comes with, let's say it was offense. That was the area that your family was always bound with. Just, I mean, it was always taking offense. And if nobody was offending you, you'd find somebody else that was being offended, and you'd go join them in being offended because they were offended. Maybe that was a habit of your family. I don't know, but amen. Some people's habit is that if there's a fence within 3 miles, I mean, it finds them. Well, when it comes, the thought comes to your mind. Oh, how they treated us. You start turning that over in your mind. According to this verse, you're licking the vomit. What was spewed out, I know it's an ugly picture, but you need to see how ugly it really is. What was spewed out of your life, the devil brings it back and you're like, I'm making it morbid and on purpose. So some of you will wake up. Stop licking the vomit. Turning it over whenever it comes. Turning it over. Yuck. Amen. People have the idea, the mistaken idea, that if something is gone out of their life, then it's just gone, gone, gone. Gone, gone, done, done. It's gone, gone, over, never try to come back. But that's not true. All you got to do is relax a little bit, get a little carnal. Just don't be guarded in your thought life. Just don't pay attention to your spiritual condition. Before you know it, right there it comes back. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't look at me funny. Praise the Lord. You turn away from a little bit of light. Stop walking in the light. Stop being disciplined. Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Amen. So whenever something starts getting in you, here's what starts happening. When something starts working on you and you start taking it, then it starts motivating you. We didn't get to it, but I'm going to close with this. 1 John 3:12. King James says, if you want to turn there, it's fine. I'm not going to turn there myself, but you can mark it down. 1 John 3:12 is talking about Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Did I get the right reference there? 1 John 3:12. The Amplified says, who got his motivation from the wicked one. Yeah. You know, you can be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Want to hear me? I speak in tongues. And still be motivated by the wicked one. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm praying in tongues. And somebody comes along and tells you, would you hear what they did to our family? They did what? Yes. How dare they? Yes. Well, I'm going to show them how the Eberleys treat the people like that, you know. You're not going to take advantage of us. Where'd you get, what's motivating you now? Sha-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Huh? Amen. Guard what is motivating you. Ask yourself the question, what is motivating me? What is motivating me? Some of you have a yakety yak yak. Pay attention. Something's trying to motivate you.
Yeah, come on.
Answer it.
Amen.
Don't let it conceive. Don't let it get in you. Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure. Hallelujah. Well, I'm born again. I mean, my heart's been cleansed from all these things. What's the parable of the sower all about then? He's talking about not letting the weeds get in and the rocks keep the soil from producing fruit and all that. You got to guard what gets in. Satan would love to use that rich, fertile soil of your born-again human spirit to grow a big crop of offense and things that will choke out the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen carefully. Listen not just with a good sermon ear. Well, that's a good sermon. No, this is for living. This is for living. This is for living. Amen. Listen very closely. Satan is continually trying to work on us. And we've got to gird up the loins of our minds. That's over there. What is that? 1 Peter 1:13, I believe. Gird up the loins of your mind. The implication is a woman that keeps her clothes on and doesn't let somebody get her undressed and plant a seed in her.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like a, you know. People don't want to, I don't want to talk like that. Well, you need to think about it. Think about it. Amen. Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, keep your clothes around your mind so that man can't get anything in. Don't just keep clothes on your body. Keep your clothes on your mind. There needs to be something on your mind keeping your mind from getting a seed planted in it. A man can't plant a seed in a woman and sin with your clothes on. I know it's direct, but some of you need to hear the directness. That's the word, by the way. So keep your mind girded up. Don't let keep your the clothes on your mind. The Bible talks about being girded with the girdle of truth. Keep the word around your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we'll close with that. The worst, I just need you to know, the worst part about some of these things is when some people don't realize what's motivating them. Some people don't realize what the devil's working on them about. Amen. I'll tell you this. You will disqualify yourself from being used in greater levels in the things of God if you can't steward and watch over your own mind, your own flesh, your own spiritual condition. God's not going to give you a stewardship over more in the kingdom of God. Well, I have a call. I'm called to this, called to that. Well, until you take stewardship over these things, don't expect God to take you any further. I remember years ago, way back before I was married, I was watching the wrong thing on TV one day. And this was in Rhema Bible school. And after it was over, I turned it off, and the Lord said, if you don't deal with that area of your flesh, he said, you've gone as far as you can go in my plan. Boy, that got my attention. Pastor, you're being real honest. Yeah, I know. It helps us, doesn't it? You know, I'm just as normal as you are as far as have to deal with these things. Amen? You got to guard yourself. You got to stay on your watch. Pay attention. Keep the spiritual, what you need spiritually, keep yourself in tune so that you're ready for whenever these things come. You catch them just like that. And it doesn't go 3 weeks before you go, oh, that's what it's been. That's why I've been depressed. The more we grow, the quicker we catch them, the more we perceive it. Amen. We're watching over ourselves. We're guarded. We're guarding our thought life. We're guarding what the enemy's doing. Amen. Well, did you get some help this morning? Whether you know it or not, you got some help. Are we going to do what we know? Are we going to be deceived? No. Are we going to be lazy? That's the big one this morning. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't just have you ever known the devil's working on you, but you just don't want to do anything about it right now? You ever done that? I have. I know he's working. I know he's trying to get a fence on me, on the inside of me. But right now, I just want to watch a movie. I just don't want. Well, see, he'll get in that way too. Amen. I had an experience. I told you about it out in California. We were out there, not this trip, but when we were at the Holy Ghost meetings 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and the devil started coming. Yakety yak, yak. All sorts of intimidating thoughts, failure thoughts, all kinds of things. I mean, he just gang. See, when you get around your divine connection, there's always yakety yak, yak there. So I told Pastor Debbie, agree with me. I'm under attack, and I don't normally say that, but you know it's serious when I say that. So she said, "Well, I'll agree with you." And I went to bed that night, just trying. I don't want to deal with that right now. You know, I'm tired. So I went to bed that night and woke up. I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning. Right there it was. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Just thoughts coming like machine gun bullets. And I lay there and I thought, I'm asleep. I want to go back to sleep. I don't want to deal with this right now. But it just kept coming. I said, all right, that's it. All right, that's it. And I lay there and dealt with that. Because, you know, when you're sleepy, it's not you don't want to get in the spirit. You want to stay in the flesh and be tired and be sleepy. And so I got up and I dealt with it, and it left. Amen. Hadn't come back since. Just a little bit, but I, you know. Ha, ha, ha. It can be that way for you. Rather than this thing going on for the next 3 years. Let's be skillful. Amen? Amen? Tell your neighbor we're getting skillful with these things. We need to talk more about the mind and the thought life here at church again for this next generation, because I've never dreamed that I would, I would need to go over it again because of the next generation. You know, you just assume everybody got it. But see, we were some of us were coloring on our seats whenever these were preached. So, and that's fine. That's where you were at the time. But hey, you're growing up now.
Yeah.
You're in the army now.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't working on you back then, but now he's working on you.
Yeah.
So we're going to help you. Amen.